Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Yak Gadget, made in America, based outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Yak Gadget offers all kinds of storage accessories, quick mount motor mounts, anchor systems, track mounted accessories, even paddles. Go to yakgadget.com and get your kayak decked out for your next trip out on the water.
The 153 Bait Company, based in Troy, Ohio, make everything from plastics to custom painted hard baits. Hook them hard and hook them off. All of our baits are made to order and all of our hard baits are hand painted to order. So go to the153anglers.com to place your order today.
To hell and back is in the job description. Being roughed up, scuffed up, run over, kicked, thrown, dropped, dumped, and done the unthinkable is a duty we've embraced for more than 40 years. Through superior engineering and constant innovation, only Pelican has conquered the chaos a life of ambition can dish out. And we've done it to empower you.
Welcome to The Reel Down on Paddle and Fin with your hosts, Dan Perry and Jimmy Skinner, where we talk about everything tournament kayak fishing. Here we go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to The Reel Down, live on another Monday night. Just me tonight. Got a special guest. Dano wanted to take the night off, so we obliged. Enjoy your night off, my friend. Be sure to like and share this up. Let's get some people on here. Got another great show. We're kind of taking a step back a week. We're covering the first stop of the Paddle and Fin Trail Series at Tippecanoe. And with that being said, we're going to bring on one of the tournament directors and the queen of Paddle and Fin, Miss Susie Q. What's up, Susie?
What's up, everybody?
Bring the energy.
Right? It's been a little bit, you know. I haven't actually done like my own podcast thing in quite a while, actually since November. So, you know, Ooh. Kind of being like a host or whatnot type of thing. It's just like, whoa, this is kind of weird, you know. But I'm actually in the works of getting my podcast started back up. So I'm going to have one episode here in May, which I'm going to be working on. So, but yeah, this is my studio now. I'm in my garage right now where I have everything set up. So,
Looks good, though.
Yeah,
this is where all the magic happens. Little paddle and fin thing going on back there. I like it.
Right?
Yeah. That's what, for anybody watching and notices, I seem to change where I do the podcast basically every week. Usually I do it in the camper. I got my nice little backdrop set up. Well, I was telling Susie before the show, the way that kind of works is where the bench and table is what converts to the bed. So usually you can just fold the mattress and everything out of the way. And now I can't do that because I bought a mattress that I cannot move. So I have officially lost my podcasting space again, and we've came back to the dining room. So I don't know if I could convince the wife to let me do much work in here, and I kind of don't want to anyway. So maybe I can be cool like Brian and Jay and get a little studio time. So if anybody's right. listening, I've got like a little bit room or closet I can borrow, holler at me. Well, what's been up, Susie? I hadn't seen you since Dale Hollow.
I know. Yeah, it's been a minute. So, yeah, a week ago, we had our first Paddle and Fin Trail Series stop on the Tippecanoe River. So I had some excitement with that. We had a total of 11 anglers sign up for that. And, you know, granted, you know, we've all been hyped up and excited for our trail series this year. And granted, with the low numbers, it can be disheartening sometimes, but it doesn't impact our performance and our, you know, attitudes toward everything. We make sure that everybody is set up for success. We give it our best and give it our all and make sure everybody has a good time and a positive experience. And again, you know, show that it's always all about the anglers and everything. So I think everybody was pretty happy with the way it turned out.
I don't know. Yeah, everybody I've talked to, you know, at the open that we did, a couple of the people I talked to that were actually at that first tournament y'all did, everybody's happy with it. And like me and Dan said it again, you know, the people that aren't signing up and haven't made it, you're only hurting yourself because these guys are getting a way better chance at some decent money for, you know, a day on the water. But with that being all said, you know, like you said, it's not going anywhere and it's only going to get better. And I know y'all, and especially Brian's not a quitter. He may have his "I'm selling everything and I quit" days, but like 15 minutes later, he's came back and he already has like an extra job or responsibility. Like, my man's right. Always grinding. So, well, with that being said, let's get on the winners. We have Mr. Jackson Orr, one of my favorite people to talk to because he's always so nice. He never says anything bad about anybody. And Mr. New Canoe Matt Gibson, your first and second consecutively. What's going on, guys?
Hey, thanks for having us on the show tonight. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Sorry that it was a week late. We kind of messed with our scheduling a little bit and then had kind of scheduled over that event and didn't realize it. And then Brian was like, go ahead and do it a week late. So I'm glad because I wanted to see how it was because it was definitely somewhere I wanted to go and I was supposed to be there, but work didn't allow it. So for anybody that doesn't know you guys, I know we've had both of you on. Jackson, we've had you on a few times. Matt, have you been on the Reel Down? I know I've been on the New Canoe Show and stuff like that with you. I couldn't remember if we've had you on the Reel Down.
Yeah, it was after Crossroads last year.
That's right. That's right.
Or yeah. This year, whatever year it was. Yeah.
One of them.
Yep.
Well, Matt, for anybody that doesn't know who you are, tell us about you.
Matt Gibson, located kind of in central Indiana here. Regional director for Team New Canoe Great Lakes, and then also the Great North now. So that keeps me pretty busy. Tournament fisherman here in the state. Tournament director with IKA as well, Indiana Kayak Anglers. So
awesome. Jackson, what about you, man?
Yeah, I mean, I'm 18 years old. Been kayak fishing for, I think it's my fifth year now. Fifth year doing tournaments. Second year doing like the national scene, I guess. And been very blessed and going to Carson Newman University to fish for their team this August. So I couldn't be more excited for that.
Yeah, I was going to bring it up, but I wanted to know. I didn't know how that was working, if you were like getting to kind of fish in the summer or fish now, or if it was like the year after this, you know, 2022 start. So you start in August.
Yeah, I'll start in August. I'm still a senior, so I've got to finish my senior year first, and I'll go to Carson Newman in August. And then whenever I figure out my partner, who knows when that's going to be, but after that gets all figured out, I'll start fishing for the team. So it's very exciting.
No, that's awesome. And that, obviously, that's boats, right?
That's... Yeah, it's boats. And then also there's a kayak fishing, college kayak fishing series that I might do a few events. Chad Hoover came up with that, so that would be cool.
Yeah, that's what I know that I didn't know about up there. I know down here we've got some people really pushing for kayak divisions in high schools and a couple of the smaller colleges. But like, I'm trying to remember how it worked, but like, somehow they got it where they could qualify through the kayak series, but the championship that was put on, that was the only thing they had to have a boat for. So however these clubs worked it out, basically it's like these like 10 schools can qualify with kayaks, but it's a national championship with guys that have been fishing in boats all year. So it was kind of cool, but we've got some guys that are really pushing that kind of stuff down here. So I didn't know if that's starting to show up y'all's way any, but yeah. But that's cool. Well, just because we hadn't seen Susie in a while, Susie, I want you to tell us a little bit about the Tippecanoe River and area.
Well, wow, put me on the spot here. Wow. Yeah. So, Tippecanoe is in, kind of like central-ish Indiana, I would say. I can't tell you exactly how many miles it runs because I'm not quite that familiar with it. But I know it is a awesome smallmouth fishery. And, we had our home base there in, Monticello, Indiana, and, the Sportsman, Sportsman Inn was awesome enough to let us use their clubhouse for our event that weekend. So we kind of had this little building to itself where they kind of have like meetings, like wedding receptions, that type of thing. We had it all to ourselves to use for the for that weekend. So that was really nice of them. And it was right next to the water too. So in between, you know, our live streams or whatnot, we'd run down and toss a few lines in the water and whatnot, watch people go by. But yeah,
you're not going to keep you all out of the water.
Oh no.
That's like all the guys that get in the water and are covering live, you know, every one of them's taking their fishing gear with them. Oh, yeah. I saw just as many, like I'm part of the little group chat from when we were at Del Hollow. So I was keeping up with it that way all weekend or all day. And you know, I could see the videos coming in and then there'd be pictures of like, oh, look at the fish I'm on. And I was like, yeah, you can't get these guys to work through the whole thing.
No. That would be sacrilege.
Well, that's it sounded like a really cool place. I know that I think it was the couple of weeks prior to that, I think it was, I heard that there was a bunch of good smallmouth being caught up that way. And then Brian would kind of talked it up saying that there's always some, you know, 19 and 20 inch smallmouth pulled out of there.
Yeah, there are. But I guess the big thing that I think that might have been a factor with, you know, the event maybe having low numbers was that the weather, for one thing, because is it that Tuesday that it snowed, I believe? I think.
Yeah.
And it just like that cold front came through and just messed everything up. It was just, oh my gosh. I was mad that it snowed for one thing. I mean, it's not really uncommon for it to happen in April, but just, it was just kind of one of those things where you're just like, all right, come on now. Okay. It's spring.
For the Southern guy in the group, that sounds absurd. Snow in April. I'm over here like, wow, it snowed in April. You're like, oh yeah,
it happens. It can happen, but yeah, that cold front came through and kind of, you know, it stuck around for quite a while, even through the weekend. And for like probably a good majority of the weekend, there was like 100% chance of rain for that Saturday. So I know that probably affected some of the guys' decisions too to sign up. But luckily, as it got closer and closer to Friday, that 100% kept on dropping and dropping. And so eventually it dropped down to like, I don't even remember what it was, but the rain didn't actually start until like right about close to lines out, which is, you know, fabulous. Pretty fortunate. So yeah, I was glad to, you know, have the anglers have a little bit of relief there. But it was still kind of, you know, chilly, overcast conditions and whatnot. And from what I remember, I think the water temps were 50s, I believe.
I think like super high 50s. I think so.
So for y'all more northern people than this guy, with y'all's temperatures, obviously y'all are kind of like behind us as far as like the seasons change and everything. Do the fish seem to be pretty active in the like low mid 50 range though, considering that's a good warm up from what the winters are there? Cause you know, like a winter here, we might see like, I mean, obviously it'll get cold, but you know, let's say like mid to high 40s. So like certain places I fish, you really don't start seeing the good activity until you like get near touching 60, you know, and things like that. What's it like for anybody that's not familiar with, you know, those kind of areas, you know, a little northern of us southern people?
I mean, it can be different from like, so I'm more in central Indiana. It can be different down here than what it is down south. And then where Jackson is, it can be even more different than that. But yeah, I mean, mid 40s, if we have sun and it's in the mid 40s, the water temperature, those fish, I mean, they'll start swimming around being a little more active.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not like you're going to go out there and just smash them on a buzz bait or something like that. But I mean, they'll definitely eat.
That's why I don't do good when I go fishing north, because I don't care. I'm still going to throw that buzz bait anyway.
Yeah, I actually got my first buzz bait fish today, so I was pretty excited about that.
I've been using that Accent Jacob Wheeler series, the Finesse. I've got both series, but that Finesse one, I just can't like put it down.
Yeah.
And it's like, I haven't thrown a buzz bait in years, and it's been a good year so far. Nothing like crazy size, but just being able to like kind of call your shot with it every now and then.
Yeah.
Like starting to see the activity on the surface, you know, toss it over there and get you a bite. It's hard to put it down.
I've been playing with a PH Custom. It's called a Toad Toter. Put a toad on it, but it's a straight inline. Which is a little bit different.
I've got some. We did the final cast. Me and Brad Hicks. We did a show with I think his name's Andrew that does Tackle Talk, and I brought out one of my like 1994 double inline buzz baits, and they were like, "What is that?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah. You don't know nothing about this." I've only got one left, and I won't throw it because it's literally the only one I have left. Well, we're going to get on Tackle Talk. I'm going to get off this. But anyway, so yeah, so the weather was bad, or potentially bad, so that kind of messed up potential participation, which, I mean, why wouldn't you go? The fish are wet anyway. Just get some rain gear. And then, you know, this has happened to me too. I've not gone because of weather. And then, like you said, Susie, the weather didn't roll in until it was almost over. So, you know, for some people, you could have still had most of a good day of fishing and then got off the water and cleared it. And,
yep.
You know, based off the numbers, I got them right here. So, like Susie said, there was 11 anglers. Jackson was the only guy with the limit. And Matt, you were hot on his tail with only four fish. So the numbers, Jackson had 88.5, and Matt had 73.25 with big fish at 20.5, which was a killer fish. Susie was blowing up the chat like, Matt just caught a donkey.
Titus was actually, he'd actually just left. So.
That was a tank.
Oh, man.
Titus, you're fired. Hey, with only 11 people in it, y'all could have just stayed from start to finish with these guys.
I think he was trying to get a little fishing in, which I don't blame him.
I would have been fishing right beside you. Y'all would have been mad. I'd be like, oh, Jackson's on fish. I'm going to fish clean up right behind you. We're going to co-angle this. So, yeah, it was a tough day, but y'all stuck it out and gunned it out. So, we talked about the weather a little bit, Matt, but walk us through your day.
So, coming in, I kind of had a mindset that I was going to kind of swing for the fences. I was going to go for the win and just catch the biggest bag I could through some bigger baits, and that's kind of what I stuck to all day. Actually, Jackson and I fished the exact same stretch. I saw him in the morning, I took off, and then he kind of fished, but, you know, kind of back behind me a little ways, so... But yeah, we were actually on the same stretch.
That's awesome. Well, real quick, Chris Yonk said, was the river much different north and south of the base, depth, current, etc.? There we go. It clicked off. I'm assuming base, he's talking home base maybe for the headquarters. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, home base, yeah, was the Monticello area, because we could go. That was like about... central, so we measured from like the northern first boundary to the southernmost part, and that was right about middle. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what we kind of called home base.
Gotcha. Yeah. So to his question, is it much different?
I don't know how it was that day, but the day when I fished the furthest north stretch, and then where Jackson and I fished down south, they almost look like different rivers to me. I don't know if it's the same with you, Jackson. The northern
I've never
section
fished up there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's got a lot of fish. That's yeah.
It's got a lot of grass in it, which is kind of different than what Jackson and I fished. Yeah. It's not as the river's not flowing as hard up there as what it is down where we fished. So
yeah, it was moving pretty fast where we were.
Yeah, yep. And that's been my experience. Is the northern stretch is a little shallower, a little more rock in it than what we fish in the lower section.
So were y'all doing it as a float, or were y'all like paddling up, floating down, or floating down and working your way back up?
There's no way you're going to paddle up there.
So it's flowing that good.
Well, yeah. It's moving. So
yeah, so, I'd power pull down in the river, and I mean the river would sometimes like even take me with my power pull. Like my power pull would like grab me with the rocks. Like
wow.
Yeah, it was moving.
I've done that with a stakeout before in when I was in Wisconsin, and that's just I'm safe, you know, but it's like a different feeling when you're like, this is my anchor. This is what's going to hold me here. And then you keep going down the river and you're like, it just feels like you're like at the mercy of the river at that point. And you're like, well, this situation just got worse. And then it gets frustrating because that, I think anchoring in kayak fishing is probably the thing that frustrates me the most. Is trying to hold position a lot of, I mean, not like you're using a bow mount or anything like that. Do you have a bow mount set up on your Unlimited?
I do now.
You do now?
I just got that. I just got it mounted. We, you know, Jackson fished it too. We had an IKA event over the weekend on a, you know, fairly large body of water, and it was gusting pretty good. So I'm glad I had that motor for this weekend for sure.
Yeah.
And Jackson, you're using that one-off 360, aren't you?
Yeah, I got 360. I love it. I probably wouldn't have been able to catch some of my fish on the tippy without that 360. It was insane. Like, wherever I wanted to go, wiggle into, I mean, I can just, you know, like, it was almost like spot lock at that point. So.
It definitely, I've messed with a few of them. It's really cool. I just don't feel like I'm coordinated enough to do all of that. Like
it was a lot of pedaling. Like if I was being honest, like my legs are starting to hurt trying to like get back up that river. And I mean, it was moving like Matt was saying, like it's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. While fishing it, I didn't feel like it was moving that hard. And then going back and look at some of Titus's videos, I was like, holy cow. Like
I noticed it more when I like tried to go back up and fish something and I saw that looked nice. Like
yeah,
there'd be times where we'd be getting videos from either Jeff or Titus, and you could hear Titus, he'd be sitting still, but you'd hear his torquito going, you know, because he's like, I'm like, man, that river's moving good.
Yeah, his torquito got a workout over the weekend. Yeah,
I could definitely see after using the 1103 when we were at Del Hollow, the noise difference. Like that's almost worth that buy to me. Like I don't have either one of them, but I've used one that's just the old 403 that makes all the racket, and then I used Grimsley's 1103, and it's just quiet and running 6 miles an hour up the river, and I was like, man, I think I could almost justify to a couple $1,000. I don't think my wife agreed with that, though. Yeah. We're getting closer to that 3 range. It's getting a little whew. Well, that's awesome. Matt, back to your day of fishing. Did you get on them pretty quick? Kind of break down. I mean, you don't have to give away any secrets or anything, but kind of how your fishing was.
And to be completely honest with you, I threw a glide bait. All day is what I threw.
Nice.
Now, I am by no means a glide bait expert. It's something that actually one of our teammates, Jimmy, is on Team New Canoe that's kind of helped me through, and that's Andy Knott. That dude is a freak when it comes to throwing big baits on the river. Like, he throws very, very big baits. And honestly, I just wasn't comfortable with it until a few times him and I went out and started getting bit on it. Man, it's an addicting bite too. Once you get one on it, you don't want to put it down the rest of the day, I can tell you that.
I think that's part of the reason I don't give it a chance is I don't need any, like, I already screw myself out of a lot of good fishing days because instead of adapt and overcome, I'm like, no, top water, you will happen. It never happens. But I still throw it all day anyway. If I ever get bit on a glide bait, because I've had some follows, mm-hmm. and the few times I've thrown it, and that gets me hyped up. If I ever like get a good fish on it, that's the end of it. I will be selling everything, and I'll be one of these idiots with $10,000 and baits in one box, you know. No.
Oh, it is. It is. It's actually, I'm learning that it's a very versatile bait. You can do a lot of different things with it, a lot of different actions. It's fun on the river, especially.
Amen, Chris. Yeah, it's, I hate on all my buddies I see throwing that stuff, but when they do hook a into something, it's usually quality.
It's not the right one.
I've seen the 6-inch fish eat at the 8-inch bait too, though. So,
mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, that's cool. You using some kind of custom or what glide bait were you?
It's actually River City Swim Baits. He's a smaller builder, great guy out of, I believe, Virginia. And yeah, he makes some killer glide baits, man. And they're for a custom glide bait. It's not that bad priced. It's actually pretty good.
I just Googled them.
Yeah.
And Susie has made an order.
No, not yet. Looks like they start at about 85, but they look pretty good though. I mean, like, I'm looking at the detail here on them, and yeah, they're looking really nice.
I'm a sucker for a bait that looks good. And we've got a guy in Tennessee that does, I think his name's Ryan. He does fish 30-acre baits. And him and a good buddy of mine are like, he makes the baits. My buddy kind of tests everything for him. And he always is bringing me all these crazy looking gizzard shad baits and these. You know, now they make stuff for musky fishing too, so some of it's kind of ridiculous sized, but I still like, I'm like, I don't throw that, but I might give you $150 for that because it looks good. It looks really cool hanging on my wall.
Yeah.
And that's,
I kind of have a threshold right now for my baits, and it's like I can't get over that $100 mark, like for a bait. I just can't do it.
I haven't been there yet either.
You know, I started with that. I won't spend more than five. I won't spend more than seven. I won't buy jackhammers. I have a whole box of jackhammers now. What has happened?
Those are dangerous.
Yeah.
Like after Christmas this year, I put together, I got one of those new Plano jig boxes, which are awesome for holding chatterbaits. And then I filled that thing up. One side's jackhammers, the first two rows, and the other side's my jigs. And I was joking around with my wife, and I was like, you ever seen a $400 tackle box? And I got to counting, and I was like, oh crap, it costs more than that. And now like I'm scared to take it on the river.
Yeah.
Like I had it in the front hatch of the boat, like tucked away, like, no. This one box can't disappear.
I'm kind of a balsa freak, so I know exactly what you're talking about. So.
Oh, I'm glad that I don't like when I was younger, I used to love throwing crankbaits, and now I'll throw a square bill for about 14 seconds and then put it back up. Like, I don't even know why I have cranking rods. I don't use them. But I'm glad that I don't have that addiction that I used to, because I still, like, I'm part of some of the raffle pages on Facebook, and I'll see one run across the thing, and I'll put my money in for it and win it, and it's still sitting in the box. I've got so many DT-10s and 12s I will absolutely not use, but it'll be some rare color that they did for, like, 1 month, and I'm like, I need it. But one of these days I can retire on all the dumb crap I've got in there. So I don't know. At the same sense, I'm one of those kind of people that I'll hit that point where I'm like, okay, I got to downsize, but I don't have the patience to sell anything.
Same
so like,
here.
I put together a plastic tote like this of bait and boxes not too long ago. Told myself I was going to sell it at our local tackle swap we do for the high school fishing team. I couldn't make it. So I literally just gave it all away the other day. Like, a guy came over and I was like, what do you want? And he's like, well, I'll take all of it. And I was like, all right, cool. And then awesome. I was thinking about it and I was like, man, that was a lot of money. But I don't care. Like, I'd rather, you know, people don't want to buy certain things and then you have to like sell this guy this and this guy that. Yeah, screw that. Just take, I told him, I was like, then just take all of it. I just give me the box. Well, yeah. So Jackson, Mr. Winner, why don't you walk us through? How many fish did you end up catching total?
I don't know. I kind of caught a lot of fish. I wasn't using big baits though. I was using the rig and then using a crankbait, a DT6.
Nice.
But I probably caught, if I'm being honest, I probably caught 20 to 25 fish, but a lot, some of them weren't keepers though. They were just, you know, your little like 10 inchers. But, I've only fished that river. That was my second time fishing that river. The first time was, Indiana Kayak Anglers event back in 2019. And I just went in there blind and was fortunate to win that. So I just thought I'd go in blind again and fish the same stretch, and you know, it panned out for me the way I hoped it did. And just fishing Ned Rig on riprap and like eddy stuff on the side of the river, and I mean they were there, and seawalls, they were there.
Very nice. So it kind of set up for anybody that knows anything about fishing moving water like that. It sounds like they were exactly where they would kind of be expected to be.
Yeah. When I was there in like 2019, like I just fished it the exact same way. And I mean, like, I literally, like, I had deja vu, like 5 minutes into the tournament, in 2019, I cast it against the seawall and caught a 21 incher, and it like jumped everything and I got it in. And then I did the exact same thing during this tournament and caught a 17 3/4. It jumped everything. I thought it was the same fish. Like, it looked like a 21 incher. I was like, holy smokes, like, is this really gonna happen? But no, they were like I had waypoints and everything, and I almost caught a fish in every single waypoint.
Wow.
So. That's awesome. How long of a float did y'all have? Like, how the stretch y'all floated?
I think it was like, wasn't it like 7.5 miles, Matt, or like 7?
Yeah,
something like that.
Something like that. Yeah,
yeah. It wasn't too bad.
No, that's a pretty good one. What I think about, like, you know, this is my kind of fishing too. What I think about is, you know, the water's moving so fast. But, you know, is 7 miles going to be enough? Will I be able to slow down enough and effectively fish in the short distance? Because you know, you saw. I don't know if you fished the Logan Martin event for Bassmaster last year that guys were doing the 12 and
yeah.
You know, guys were doing the 12 and 15 mile float, and that river was running.
Yeah.
And you know, you could still, yeah. And so that kind of stuff plays in my head. Like, okay, like, for either any of y'all that would know, was the rate that the river was flowing up and faster than usual because of the weather and the snow and runoff and things like that? Or was that about how that river always is?
I thought it was, I mean, it looked kind of normal. I mean, what do you think, Matt?
Yeah, it's interesting. So that part is below the dam. So it's kind of regulated, and it's kind of, you know,
they
can hold water. They can do a lot of things up there. Yeah, I think it looked, I mean, it felt pretty normal. That's actually the first time I'd fish that stretch, but I mean, it looked like the stretch above that one that I fished last year. I mean, it looked pretty normal. Watercolor is pretty normal. A little dingy, but wasn't too bad.
Oh, I like a little color.
Yeah, yeah.
Clear water sucks. I'm sorry.
It does. It's terrible.
If you tell me, like, it's like, hey, this is your choice this weekend. You go to Lake Lanier and you can see the bottom in 30, 40 feet, or you can go to Pickwick and it's red. I'm going to Pickwick. Like,
I like my catch. I do the same.
I'll agree. Well,
back to you, Jackson. So you got into the tournament kind of late, didn't you? Did you sign up the night before?
Yeah, I almost forgot to sign up because I floated with one of my good buddies, Blake Spurgeon. And we had this float all planned out, and he like texted me at like 10:30, I think, to sign up because he said, like, sign up in soon. And I was going to sign up and I forgot, and I was getting ready for bed and everything. And it was like, I think it was like 11:40 or something.
11:38.
Yeah. 11:38.
Yeah. You know, yeah, Susie's like, oh, going off and she's like, what is this?
I was waiting for it, you know?
Yeah, no, but no, I was super glad I signed up. I had a lot of fun, tournament or not. I mean, that was a blast. And then you guys ran it very well. I mean, you paid out very well. It was like a professional tournament. Like, it really was. I mean, granted, there was only 11 people, which I think in the future that number is going to keep going up. And the weather had to do with that. But, I mean, it was insane. Like, I had a great time, like, at the check-in. I mean, it was like I was at, a Hobie tournament. Like, that's kind of what it felt like. Like, it wasn't like your average local tournament.
So. Y'all hear that?
Oh, yeah, we're gonna
crop that, and we're just gonna play that over and over and over. Because that's what everybody's comparing everything to. Everybody knows Hobie runs a killer event, and Paddle and Fin's just trying to give more anglers those kind of opportunities to make it about them and treat them well. And you know, you hit it on the head. I don't have anything to do with the trail. You know, Susie and Matt and a lot of these guys, they put in time and effort, and they're doing it good. And I think, like I said at the beginning, I haven't heard a single bad thing about it, other than wish more people had showed up because the pot would have been bigger.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's only the first year. I mean, everyone started out like that too. Like, for instance, like Topwater, they're out of like Michigan. They started, I think, like, Two years ago, maybe. And I mean, they're already three years ago, and they're already, I mean, it's like they're awesome too.
They're huge, and like they've like blown up. They've got like these different segment things now. Yeah, they've got awesome. Like weekday tournament. It is so amazing what those guys have been doing.
Yeah, it gives us more opportunity. Like, I mean, you gave us an opportunity to have fun on a river, an amazing river that, I mean, I don't think a lot of people know how great it is. And right, you know, like more opportunities for us anglers to fish and have fun.
Yeah,
heck yeah,
for real. Yeah, and it's I think it'll only get better. I can't wait to see where it goes. You know, I was a big believer that it's kind of an oversaturation with tournaments in our world, but you know, as soon as I had a discussion about that, like this time last year, and right after I had all these talks, is when the whole kayaking like craze had like hit. And you know, me and Dan covering the reel down and covering tournaments, you know, we went from seeing clubs that you never saw have more than 20 people in them to clubs in states you didn't know they kayak fished in having 70 and 80 people, you know, every other weekend. And it's insane. So it's definitely a good move by not just Paddle and Fin, but all sorts of these clubs and tournament series, you know, giving everybody more opportunity. Cause I run a small thing down here in Alabama, and like, we've got one coming up on Pickwick, and like just some of the people that's been messaging me about coming that aren't local, but they're like, hey, I'm actually traveling from here to this state and saw it's that weekend. Do you know anywhere to stay? I'm going to hit that. And yeah, that's cool. You know, it's just tons of opportunity. So
That's awesome. So
good job, Susie. Good job, Matt and Brian and whoever all else is doing that. Y'all got a whole
JP, Titus.
Yay.
Gosh, who else? There was just a small crew of us there, but yeah, we had fun with it though.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
and Jeff, of course. I always forget about Jeff.
Didn't everyone go home with something, or at least like 10 or 11 people go home with something?
Yep. That's awesome. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, everybody went home with something.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no. If you're somebody that's for the giveaways, you definitely should come.
Come. Yeah. Yeah.
And the entry fee is affordable, and I like free stuff. That's what I'd asked when I was supposed to come. I'd asked Brian. I was like, "So can I get in on this one?" He was like, "Well, Matt's fishing, sure." I was like, "Okay, as long as we can." Yeah, it makes me want to come. You know, I don't want to just come work. I want to hang out.
You take the big checks home.
Yeah. I'm just gonna
take your check didn't have like money per se, like we put what your prize was on it, you know.
That was pretty neat.
Well, that's awesome. So you know, congrats to you guys on that. I do want to ask y'all, with there being an Angler of the Year situation, and obviously this is the first event, Jackson, you're in the lead. Does this make you change your schedule up a little bit and try and follow this around as much as you can?
I mean, for me, I'm gonna fish like as many of them as I can, like the closer ones. I'm not gonna be able to fish cold water. I didn't realize that was the same day as Hartwell for the Hobie event,
isn't it? Yep.
Yes. So I wish I could fish cold water because I love that channel lake. That's very good fishery. But I mean, whatever ones I can fish, I mean, I'll fish. I mean, I had a blast. So.
Awesome. What about you, Matt?
I'm not going to make the cold water chain either. I don't know about the rest yet. We'll kind of have to see where it all fits in. So I don't know. It's been really busy with IKA stuff, and then also with some Kirby stuff that I've been fishing. So it's been kind of full.
Well, Susie, leading off of that, what does Paddle and Fin Trail have up next?
Well, like these guys were saying, the Cold Water Trail is our next event, which is happening on May 15th. This is also in conjunction with the Topwater Series. They have a Northern Indiana league that we're going to be teaming up with and pretty much running for them, basically. So yeah, we've already got eight anglers signed up right now. So, if you guys are interested in signing up, head on over to Tourney X and just, on the main page there, scroll down till you find Paddle and Fin, and then, you can sign up on there. It is a $80 entry fee. And of course, you know, if we have, you know, enough anglers, we'll pay out, the top, 10% of the field. And plus, you know, awesome prizes, stuff like that. And yeah, hoping to see a lot of people come out for that one.
Heck yeah. Hopefully the weather plays out and everybody listens to this. And I mean, it's just all been good news coming from all the people that's fished it. So y'all are just missing out.
It's a good chain. You'll catch a lot of fish. That's for sure.
I'll have to get some tips for you because I'm going to fish it for fun the day before.
All right.
Well, guys, I don't want to keep y'all. I know it's, you know, Monday night and everybody's got work and class and all sorts of stuff. So before we close out here, give y'all a chance to tell us who makes fishing easier for you. So, Matt, you want to start us off?
Yeah, first off, I want to congratulate Jackson on an awesome win up there, man.
Thank you.
He's an awesome angler, but man, he's a great guy too off the water. So congrats to him. That was awesome.
Thank you, Matt.
Yep. Yeah, New Canoe, Moving Water Outfitters. In Zionsville, they sponsor our local series here, and is just a great kayak shop, great local kayak shop. PH Custom Lures, Secret Lures, the Stupid Tube, if you haven't heard of it, I mean, it just flat out catches fish everywhere.
I still need to get some of those.
Yes.
they are ridiculously good. But yeah, they the flipping tube for you, Jimmy. That's what you need down there. The 4.2, it's gonna be killer. Yeah.
Dude, I've paid attention to that stuff. I've looked into it. Me and you've talked about it. And then just like as soon as it's over with, I don't think about making an order.
Yeah.
So like I was thinking about it on the river this weekend. Was like, damn, I wish I had some tubes. Like, this would be good.
Yeah, it's good, and even the 4.2, you know, even for its size, it's really good on rivers too. If you want to just kind of upsize just a little bit, it's really good. Yeah, you know, thanks to all those that makes it much easier for me to do what I love to do, and that's kayak fish. Also thanks to Susie for the tournament. Man, it was smooth. It ran really, really smooth. I didn't see any hiccups, didn't hear any complaints. It was awesome. It was a great time. Brian, all the Paddle and Fin crew, you know, Titus, Jeff, for following us all day and getting some of that coverage. That was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun seeing Titus and those guys out on the river. So thank you to Paddle and Fin.
Oh yeah, shout those guys out for sure. You know, we did it on Del Hollow. I don't know if y'all had the connectivity issues we had out there, but it definitely seemed like everything did go way smoother. You know, Del Hollow, where we're at, is like you're literally around nothing and nowhere.
Yeah.
Like I already had low hopes on that when we were doing that, and was like, there, like we'd get one guy in live long enough you could see his face, and then it was gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
it seemed to be much better up there at Tippecanoe.
Yeah,
with the reception and everything. Yeah. Nice. I think those guys had a good time too. I know Jeff caught a pretty good sized walleye.
Yeah, I actually saw him catch it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it got off like right at the boat. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he saw it though.
Yeah. That's awesome. Jeff Hepp's an awesome guy, man. He's super nice, very generous person, and he definitely fits right in with us, man. Like, he went to go get like gas or something, or run to the store while we were at Del Hollow, and like he went over that bridge that goes over the West Fork, ran down this rock face with one rod, caught a couple smallmouth real quick, took pictures, and went back on his way.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was like, that's great, man. But yeah, so Jackson, who makes fishing easier for you, man?
No, well, first, I want to congratulate Matt. One more fish, he would have beat me for sure. I want to thank you guys seriously for having us on tonight, and then for running such a great tournament. I had a blast. Like, that was probably one of the best days I've had on the river, any river in Indiana. So it was fun, and then. Very blessed for all my sponsors, you know, Picasa Lures, St. Croix Rods, Gill Fishing, Hobie, Eagle Claw, Chokar, Real Blaza, Yak Gear, Attorney Tag. Couldn't have done it without them, especially on the river with all that water coming up. And Tourney X, Fishing Online, Calco's Fishing, Dakota Lithium, Dry Dock, Marine Center, my local Hobie dealer. Very blessed to be on their team. Real Tree Fishing and Kayak Fishing. I got a leg problem and kayak fishing. Like, I use that thing in the truck. I use it in the kayak. I mean, it just works. Like, it's insane. So
yeah, no, that cushion works just about everywhere.
Yeah, but no, it's been awesome. Thank you guys very much.
I knew one of us was sitting on one. Mine's like sitting right outside right now, but I knew somebody had it. Well, man, we're so glad to have y'all on, Jackson. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, man. You're doing great things for somebody your age, man. And I know it gets said a lot, and it probably gets on your nerves hearing it. But man, you're somebody. I guarantee you, in 10 years, we'll be hearing about you on a totally different, you know, stage of competition or something. You know,
I'm giving my all, seriously. That means a lot to me. Like, I mean, every word like of encouragement and support, seriously, I take that to heart. And I'm going to chase my dreams and hopefully, you know, just follow God's path and where he takes me. So I'm excited.
For sure, man.
Heck yeah, man. That's awesome.
Well, Matt, I also appreciate you coming on, man. And again, helping them with everything on the back end that you've been able to do. And for whatever else y'all've got in the future for Paddle and Fin and the Trail Series, you know, we appreciate it. I appreciate it. And everybody else appreciates it. So, well, again, thanks, guys. I will let y'all go. I'm sure I'll see y'all again soon. Jackson, I figure it's only a matter of time before we get you back on for a big national win. So.
Could be Hartwell, you know. No.
Hey, I'll call it right now. If you win Hartwell, I will make sure that we have you back on that Monday for that one, just so I can say we called it. All right, everybody. Well, y'all have a good night, and we'll holler at y'all later.
All right, you guys too. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, another good show. Love talking with you guys.
Good stuff. Good stuff indeed. You know, you guys were talking about top water and everything. I had my my first live tournament where I was actually a competitor in this past weekend. On yesterday, the KBL event was on Newton Lake in Illinois, and I got all of my fish on a buzzbait.
Nice.
It was awesome and heartbreaking at the same time, because like I lost I don't know, like 4 big fish. I mean, they were probably, you know, 18 plus or something like that, because I was constantly catching, you know, 17 18 18, you know, and then I lost the rest. I luckily got my limit, but I had 2 shorts. They were both 13, so it's like 81.5 inches. But I mean, it was a tough day for like majority of the field yesterday, and out of 47 anglers, I got 7th, pending final results. But I think it was pretty good overall.
No, that's killer. For anybody that doesn't know, Susie's somewhat modest. She's a hammer. Like, my girl can catch some good fish. Like, I kind of get pissed when I'm having the struggling like year of fishing, and Susie's like, got out for 5 minutes, caught a donkey. I just rub it in.
you know.
Well, speaking of the past tournaments, I got a rundown. We got quite a few that happened last week, and oh Lord, now they're not popping up. That's not good. Here we go. Yeah, no, I put a lot of work into getting this set up. If it doesn't work, I'm going to be upset. All right, so like always, just in case anybody forgot, I have had some people be like, you don't shout our clubs out. Reach out to me. Reach out to Dan. Reach out to Brian. Anybody in Paddle and Fin. What our little criteria is 30 anglers in your tournament, unless you just contact us and say like, hey, we only had 10 guys, but we had a hell of a weekend, you know, so keep that in mind. If you want to be shouted out on here, or you want us to cover your winners, we don't mind at all. So we're going to start with the Mountain State Kayak Anglers. They were out on AEP recreational land. I don't even know what that stands for. I was looking for a breakdown of that, but they did have 46 anglers, and it was a three fish tournament. Had some pretty good limits, and the top two were close. Amos Hicks took the win with that one with 57 3/4. Matt Davis was right on his tail with 57 1/4, and Mike Leach had third place in that one. So congrats to those guys. Next up, we had NYKBF. They were out on Canandaigua Lake. We're going to go with that. Canandaigua. Love it. They had 35 anglers. Mr. Bailey won that one with 94 3/4. Second place, Pat Viome, maybe 93 1/4. Sorry if I mispronounce y'all's names. I'm just a simple Alabama man. And oh, I'm really gonna mess this one up. Third place with another solid limit, Mr. Ki Hun. I'm gonna go with that, 85 1/4. You know, those are really good bags considering, you know, New York fishing. New York's one of those lake, you know, or states that people just don't really think about, you know, big bags out there.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, we have the IKA event on Lake Wawasee. I'm going to say that maybe might be right. First place goes to Aiden Darlington, 73 1/4. Second place in that one, we just had him on, Jackson, 72 1/4. So that kid's on a heck of a streak right now. And then third place was his dad, Mr. Jim Orr, is right behind him. They do that a lot. When I first started learning about the Orrs, it was because their names were always so close together on the on the leaderboard. Yep. So shout out to those guys. Another awesome tournament for them. Next up, Buckeye Kayak Fishing Trail. Where were they? It does not say. There we go. East West Harbor. There it is. Sorry about that. Clyde Ikes, first place, 92 1/2. John Warchall, second place. Nope, sorry, 91 1/2. Gregory Schutman, third place, 89 3/4. So again, those are some really good bags. And there was a lot of good fish caught in that one. If you want to go check it out on Tourney X, there was a lot of, you know, 18-inch plus fish caught in that tournament.
Nice. So
fishing definitely turning on. Next up from that, some of my good friends down here in Tennessee, Tennessee Valley Kayak Anglers of Chattanooga. They were on Gunnersville, and they had a hell of a lot better time than I did. Apparently, I left one day early. First place, Mr. KBN, Ryan Lambert, 59 1/4 as a three-fish tournament. Second place, Brad Golden. Always hear the one of the Goldens up there in the Tennessee clubs, man. 58 1/4. And third place, Jimmy Talley, 56 1/4. And shout out Mr. Steve Owens, the director, and one of my great buddies. He was in fourth with 56 1/4. Also lost the tie with a 19 versus a 20. Oh. Yep. Moving on, we had the Bass Nation Kayak Series at Eufaula down a little bit south of me. They had 101 anglers. They extended the registration. They got quite a few. And wouldn't you know it, Mr. Russ Snyder's won again. 91 1/2. I briefly heard him. They were on KBN tonight talking about it. He was on a shad spawn bite and was doing really good. So another big win for him. Shout out. Second place was Doug Hill, 89 1/2, and third place Dylan Lowry with 85 1/4. I missed that one. It sounded like fun. All right. So after that one, we've got the Texas Kayak Championship on Lake Belton. They had 35 anglers. First place, Rolando Nandon with 91. Second place, Jeremiah Smith, 86 1/4. Third place was Darren Williams with 80 3/4. Congrats to those guys. And last but not least, we have the Urban Angler Club of Los Angeles. We've had those guys on before. They do it a little different. They let you fish in basically anything that floats out there.
Oh, nice.
They do pond prowlers and canoes and float tubes and all sorts of cool stuff. 33 guys there. Anthony Garcia got the win there, 86 and a quarter. Ted Yang, 78 and a quarter for second. Alex Cox, 75 and three quarters for third. And I want to say Alex was on our show. I think he won the one we did on. But congrats again to those guys. So that is it. Tournament season is still getting full. There was a ton of tournaments outside of the ones we had on that had just shy of the anglers, the little cap that we set. But yeah. So what you got next, Susie?
Let's see here. This week I've got my first grubby event that I'm going to compete in. It's on my home waters here at Banner Marsh. No pressure whatsoever. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to try to get out after work, maybe sometime this week. The weather is kind of wonky this week, so we'll see. If not, I'll just wing it, because, you know, that's what I usually end up doing.
I feel like I do better when I wing it.
Right? I know. That was kind of how I was this past weekend, too. So, like, Saturday during pre-fishing, like, I wasn't, like, all about, like, you know, oh, I got to ferret out and all this other stuff. I just kind of, like, played it cool. I was like, all right, I'm going to try this. And, you know, had my reasoning behind it and everything. I was like, oh, okay, got a fish. All right, good. Then I tried another thing. Oh, I got another fish. I was like, all right, well, I think I got stuff figured out. And then, like, the rest of the day, I just kind of, like, pitty-pattered around, you know. I was just like, all right, I'm just going to try some different stuff or whatever, and got some bites. I'm like, all right, feeling pretty good, pretty confident. But I was like, well, it can always change, you know, because it's a sunny sky, but the wind was gusting like 40 plus miles an hour on that Saturday. It was brutal. And then of course the buffalo gnats have arrived. And if you guys don't know what those are those damned little flies that will fly around your face and go in your eyes, up your nose, in your ears, in your mouth, if you don't have anything on, and they'll bite and you'll get really big and puffy from them, and they just drive you absolutely bonkers. So yeah, they're here. Gosh, I just lost my train of thought now. But So then after Banner this week, then the weekend after that is Coldwater. Yeah.
Coldwater.
Yeah. It's kind of a busy time. You know, lots of stuff going on, but you know, I love it. I really wouldn't want it any other way, because otherwise I'd just be sitting at home bored, or, well, not really. I mean, I'd probably be fishing at Banner regardless.
I'd be doing my adult things I'm supposed to be doing. But...
adulting, I mean, you know, ain't nobody got time for that. But then, like, I think I have a pretty clear-ish schedule after the Paddle and Fin event up until June, if I remember right, because that last weekend's Memorial Day weekend. Huh?
I see Adam in the background.
Was he peeking around? Oh, yeah. He's
not tied to the chair in the closet, folks. He's alive.
Right. but yeah, like that second to last week in May, I think, is an open weekend. So I'm just going to stay local and have some fun at Banner. You know, like, my main focus this year is just to really learn that lake and understand it better, and hopefully not get annihilated by the bugs. Cause yeah, once they're here for like a month, it seems. And like, you got to go out there with like the full bug net and everything. And just, yeah.
Oh yeah. That would suck. Well, hopefully, I don't know if my schedule is going to work it out, but I might be up there for Coldwater.
All right. That'd be cool.
Because I was going to try and change my schedule around and just come to all the Paddle and Fin stuff versus a lot of the national stuff I was doing, because I usually just suck at national events anyway. So
yeah, right.
But like, national events, I don't feel like I can just go wing it.
Like, yeah,
I tried that in lacrosse last year. Absolutely garbage.
Right.
But like local, if I just like the only event I've done local this year, I did decent at and literally didn't pre-fish. I just went to a place, launched from somewhere I'd never been before, and was like, I'm going that way.
Right. All right. That's worked out for me a few times, you know. Yeah. But yeah, this year, you know, I'm trying to think, like, I don't think I'm even doing a single national event in a sense. I don't think I'm doing any KBF or any Hobie events, which is weird, you know, because usually I do like one or two. But and this
for,
year,
for me, it's never about the who's doing them or anything either. It's kind of just like where it's
And
like some people, it's like, well, this one's in my town. For me, it's like, well, these are my bucket list lakes. Who's going to be there this year? That's why I'm going.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But like that, you know, like I want to go back to La Crosse. And then I wanted to go to Madison and
Paddington. Oh, I'm so both excited for Madison. So. And like, so I've never been to La Crosse. I'm going to be up there 3 times this year. Like, I'm just like, what?
So La Crosse blows my mind because the city is like, just like if you were down here somewhere in Alabama, it's definitely like fishing town. Mm-hmm. But like people talk about rednecks down here. They're the same thing up there with a different accent. Like, I did not feel at all out of place, and it was great.
Awesome.
Like, I enjoyed – that's part of the reason I didn't do any pre-fishing and stuff is me and my wife were enjoying ourselves so much that I just kind of was like, we're moving here.
Like, this you got to get up to the boats,
First guy that called me in the parking lot and was like, you're not from around here, are you? Like, how could you tell? Oh, we're rambling now. Well, Susie, I appreciate it for real. Thank you for coming on and covering for Dan so he could have the night off.
Anytime. It's my pleasure.
And folks, we appreciate y'all tuning in. We'll be here next Monday. I don't know what we got coming up. I haven't been looking at the schedule, but we'll see you Monday night next week live with some more winners from some tournament somewhere in our great country or maybe outside of our country. Who knows? You never know. We might throw you a little loop. So, I'll hit you with Dan's thing. Wear your PFD. Everybody be safe, and we'll talk to y'all soon. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler, the Angler Button, and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.